All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter, we've been looking at prophecy. I'm not sure how much longer on Sunday nights we'll be doing this. If you all pray about that, if this is where we need to be, then we'll continue. If not, then the Lord will lead us into some other area. But tonight, we want to finish some of the things that we find in here. And we want to start with Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. And that's where we're beginning this evening. Father God, bless the reading of your word. Bless the presentation of your word, though it be with stuttering lips and stammering tongue. Father, make the word alive in us. May the word find that place that it was meant to be. May it fall upon good ground and bring 30 times as much, 60 times as much, and if possible, 100 times as much, because we were meant to be a place that the Word grows in and transforms the place where it is. And we want to thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now then, we're in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And here we hear Jesus talking about the great tribulation that is coming upon this world. And I want you to know that it is my understanding, it's Phil Thompson theology from my being aware of the scriptures, and many of you agree with me, but not all, and that's fine because our God is sovereign. Amen. He does exactly what he wants to do. And we can either be happy about that or we can be sad about that. And I have chosen that no matter how my life goes from this point on, and this is one thing I need for you to pray as I teach Bible, which is just 30 minutes long every day in the academy, that I can cause the word to fall upon them so that they will be able to decide that no matter how their lives go, they can be like Joseph, and they can say, my God reigns. And we can say that also. So here we are looking at this. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now then, some people say that this tribulation was whenever Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. But we know that since 70 A.D. there has been great tribulation upon this world. Approximately 1 million Jews died in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. But in 1939 to 1945, approximately 7 million Jews died during that time. And we're told from Revelation that during the Great Tribulation, there will be tens upon hundreds of millions of people who will suffer during that time. And we could all sit around and say, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God. Amen. Because like I began this evening, our God is sovereign. He does know how to work all things together for good. So, and I'll be touching upon that escape and the resurrection this evening also. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. That means left alive. There should be no flesh left alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if we're in heaven, the elect that is talking about here is a group of people, another group of people, those who didn't go with us, who are living during that horrible time that God has said, I will be their God too. And I will be with them, and I will watch over them, and they will be mine, and I will walk in them as I have walked in you. And they will be able to face that day. They will be able to face it, and they will be able to live through it. Because it says, for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Now then, I want to take us to where it talks about those who are the elect. So we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we need to go in here to be able to see more prophecy. And we're going to start with verse 14, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. I'm telling you what, Vicki, you must have been in those Bible drills a lot as a kid. Because, I mean, you get there way before anybody else does. Bam, 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 it's up on the screen. And I see some of you out there that are saying, I'm going to beat her this time. Bam, she's already there. And I'm so very thankful for Alan and for James and for Gary and for Vicki who run the sound system, and how Vicki is able to do the projector and does those things and has such joy. I wish you all could see her face. Well, I get to see her, and I get to see the joy that she does this with. And she comes in here, and I get to see your faces, and I get to see the joy that you have at the Word and the hope that comes upon you and the life that you're going to live. Because let me tell you something. Our lives from now until the time that Jesus calls us into the air may be impossible, but they won't be joyless unless that's what we choose. And I will never choose to live a joyless life. I will always be crying out to my God, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, so that I can walk in the midst of this anyway. Okay, so now we're in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's go back to verse 13, because actually it says something there. And one of the elders which was standing by said unto John, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. I always love it whenever someone who has been given such great understanding says, I don't know it all. My God does. And this person knows as they are known. And why is that? Because they're in heaven. I'm not there yet. But one day, you and I are going to stand side by side, and we're going to know as we are known. And not only that, some of us, if we were to live through the great tribulation and come out on the other side, whenever the King is here upon the face of this earth, some of us are going to know as we are known. And that's going to be a marvelous day. And so he says, I don't know. You know. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. So we know it's talking about those who have lived during times of great tribulation, or actually have managed to live through the great tribulation itself, when tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people shall die. And they've been called to the throne of God to stand complete, just like Helen was called to the throne of God, and just like Margie's sister and Rita's sister Ruth was called to the throne of God to stand complete in spite of the weakness that they walked in at the end of their life, to stand complete at His throne. These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. No sin stain on them at all. And I'm so thankful for the fact one day for me and for you and for those that we love, there will be no sin stain left on them. And it's because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And if you would draw close tonight, He would make this efficient, efficacious blood available for you to be able to say, by faith, I stand clean. I stand white because of the blood of the Lamb. When all the time you look in the mirror, and the song that you sang about how Satan brings to us the reminder of our guilt. Well, Jesus is always shaking the hem of His garment whenever the evil one is speaking against us at the throne or against us here, to remind us that He has acquired the victory through His blood. And that's a marvelous thing, that He would shake those bells on his garment. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? 'Tis a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. This our God, how He has set us free from this. So anyway, he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sits upon the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more. What are you talking about? In the great tribulation, to follow Jesus, does that mean that we're going to be hungry? Well, some of us will die of starvation because they will cut off the available food supply to those who are trusting in Jesus. And they will refuse to take the mark of the beast because they will say, I will not have that. I will die, but I will rise up again more than you ever thought I could be because of who He is. Amen. And so that will happen in that day. They will hunger, neither shall they thirst. Some will die of thirst. Neither shall the sun light on them during the tribulation time. The sun is going to get really weird. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The ultraviolet rays are going to get very strong. They won't be able to blame that upon the carbon footprint. Because it's just going to be that the sun is reacting to the wickedness of this world, and the whole universe reacts to the wickedness of this world. When we see pollution and we see horrible things that are upon the face of the earth, we better believe in the one who can make things right. And we know what His name is, and His name is Jesus. And we serve the one who will make things right. So that they will be forced to be in the sun whenever the sun is becoming really crazy. And because it's ultraviolet, do you all know which part of the spectrum has the most energy in it? Well, the ultraviolet does. So the tremendous heat of the sun will be because of the ultraviolet light upon the face of this earth, and it will scorch the grass, and it will scorch the trees, and it will scorch those who have to be out in it. And it says that, and the sun shall not light upon them, nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that all tears, the tears that He saves in His bottles to remind us of what He did for us in those days and in those impossible times. There will come a day when all of those tears will be wiped away. Going back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Verse 27. Matthew 24, verse 27. We're going to skip a few verses. This is talking about Jesus coming back. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, and this is the beginning of the Shekinah glory making its presence known upon the face of the earth. The Shekinah glory was with the people while they were in the wilderness, and it would be a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And it would be at times on the Temple Mount, manifestation of the holy God who said, I will never, never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you. So that this shining out from the heavens one into the other, they will say, what is this? What is happening? The Shekinah glory streaking across the face of the earth. Some will say, it's a meteor. It's an alien from outer space. No, it's the holy presence of God invading an unholy world. And shines even to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles or the carrion eaters be. And we are aware of a little bit about what this is talking about. When Jesus comes back, the armies of the world will one day be gathered together against the holy people of Israel. And against the anointed, the holy Messiah of Israel. And against everything that is holy, this world will be up for grabs. And there will be such fighting. And the kings of the West will look like they're winning the war. And the sky will split one more time, just like it did for us in the clouds when He called us into the clouds. And we were at the marriage supper of the Lamb there in the clouds. And then whenever the time comes, the sky will split. And this time on a white horse will come Jesus. And those who are coming back with Him will also be on white horses, and we'll be coming back to reclaim the world, to make the world what it should have been all along, when sin will no longer be able to have dominion over us and over the world. And that's a glorious thing. In fact, we want to look in Revelation 19. There's just so much in here that I could keep you here all night long. I just want to make you aware of some things that are going to happen. Because we're not like other people. And it says, and this is talking about the wheresoever the carcass is, there will the carrion eating birds be gathered together. And let's see, let's start with verse 12 of Genesis, did I say Genesis or Revelation? Revelation 19. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, so that everything he looked at was tried by fire. Do you realize right now that our lives are being looked at by the Master? There are some things that are not going to last. Only what he has given to us, gold, silver, and precious stones. Some of us feel like we've gotten it and we're giving it back to him. No, he gives us gold. He gives us silver. He gives us precious stones. And he says, now build with what I've given you. And some of us are saying, I've got something better. And all of heaven is saying, nobody's got anything better than our God. And so we see here that his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And all of these crowns, I believe, that we're seeing here are reminders of the when we took our crowns and we cast them at his feet, because we said, we're not worthy to wear these crowns that you've given to us. You alone, O God, are worthy to wear all the crowns of life and joy and abundance, and we give them back to you. And so he comes back wearing a crown that reminds this whole world that only he is worthy to wear a crown. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And we know that this is Jesus himself. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should smite the nations. And say, get in line. Get in your place. It's time for you to stop messing this world up. It's time for righteousness to reign and the world to be restored. And he goes the sharp sword that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Anybody who gets in his name and begins to do like Korah did in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Korah. He said, who is Moses? We also can minister like Moses. Well, you can't if God hasn't chosen you. Only the chosen. And only how God wants the chosen to minister do they get to. And so Moses was saying, I didn't choose this. God chose me. But Korah said, but we can choose it. And God said, no, you can't. And that's when the ground opened up and swallowed them up alive. And so we see all those that stand against God, they will be swallowed up alive. And he that has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, that's where we started out about the carrion eaters coming to the carcass, and cried aloud to all of the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, and saying, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is not the marriage supper. This is where the fowls are called from all over Asia, Europe, and Africa. Maybe even from North America and South America, that the birds will be coming, flying all that distance, because they're coming to clean up the mess that the kings of this earth left behind when they rebelled that final last time against Almighty God. That you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that set upon them and the flesh of them, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies were gathered together to make war against him, Jesus, that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles with before him, which he had deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And these were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, just like Korah and the 250 men who said, They said, we don't have to do like you do. We can actually tell God what we're going to do, and nobody gets that right. And so the Korah and his followers were all swallowed up into the earth, and we see this man who has brought so much destruction upon the face of the earth is swallowed up into the lake of fire with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, the word of God. So we see that happening here, going back now to verse 29 of chapter 24. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The sun's still going through upheavals until the master comes back. And the moon shall not give her light. I don't know whether this is an atmospheric problem with carbon dioxide, because I'm sure that all of the people would say, there it is, right there in the Bible. There's global warming, climate change. Well, sin does cause all those things. Do they have an answer for sin? No, they don't. Do we have an answer for sin? Really, we don't, unless we trust Jesus. I want you to know that the church, until Israel totally becomes that living, breathing nation, and they are not yet, but it soon will happen. All those bones have come together, bone upon bone, all of them standing up, and the sinew has come up on them, and there's a body there, but the Spirit is not yet in them, and it's coming on them. They can say, I'm going to stop my nose, I'm going to stop my mouth. You won't get in me. And the Spirit will say, there are other ways to get in you besides your nose and your mouth. I'm the God who knows how to dwell in a person and enter into them. And that nation will become a living nation in that day. And so we see that happening in the verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That's the white horse and all the horses coming back to him with power and great glory, all the nations. Well, why are they mourning? This is the one who's come to make things right. Well, because there is so much evil in this world, and men love evil because their deeds are darkness, and they love the darkness because their deeds are evil, and God Himself is coming back to this world, and they don't want to have anything to do with Him. I'm going to be so glad. Thank God He's coming back. And there's going to be rejoicing in some areas of the world. Men and women who thought that they were going to die are going to see the great hope in the sky. And He would be coming back with clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. Here again, it's talking about the Shekinah glory, the clouds of heaven. This is not the clouds like we have out here. This is the clouds of heaven. There were clouds that came upon Peter, James, and John when they were up on the mountaintop there. Jesus was transformed. His figure became like what He is in the holy presence. So all the glory He had taken off of Himself, the kenosis of Christ, when He took all of that off, suddenly was being restored to Him. And they were looking at Him, and they could not believe what they saw. And so there were two men that were standing there. There was Elijah and Moses standing with them, and they were going, what was going on? And the brightness of the clouds was so much, and they fell on their faces. And God Himself is coming back to this world, and the clouds of heaven will be with Him with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, we know this is talking about Israel being gathered together. It's not talking about all of the church or the people, all the saved. This is talking about Israel, because trumpets always have to do with Israel. Always. In fact, we're getting ready to come upon the Feast of Trumpets that's going to happen this next month. The fact that might remind us that the trumpet is getting ready to sound soon. Now, learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and he puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, when you become aware of how all of prophecy is beginning to dovetail, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And I remember whenever I was in the Navy in 1970 through 73, and how I heard people preaching because back then they thought, well, Jesus will be back in 1988. 88 reasons. Some of you all probably still have that book somewhere. 88 reasons why Jesus must come back by 1988. Then the next one that came out was 98 reasons why Jesus must come back by 1998. And so we know that Jesus is coming back, and He's going to tell us, as it was in the days of Noah, bound in verse 37, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man be. So we know that He's coming at a time, because the rain, they didn't know when it was going to rain, but also He's coming at a time that might be within the time frame of Noah. How many years did it take Noah to build that ark? 120. So maybe somewhere within 120 years from 1948 to 2068. And let's see, in that year I'm going to be 119 years old. But it won't matter. Gnarly and wizened and whatever that comes with that age, Jesus is coming to transform me and this world. And so we read all of these things here, and we want to skip on down to verse 43 so that we can bring this message to an end. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. How many of you have ever had your house or your business broken into? Wouldn't you have liked to have known when they were coming so you could be standing there waiting on them? I've had my house gone through twice. One day I think I came home while they were still there. Because I don't come in through my front door, I come in through my back door. I always have a time. I'm grabbing my keys. Y'all are glad that I can find them. I know you are. Managed to get that thing in there because sometimes I'm thinking, how come I cannot get this key into that place? Doing my thing, trying to get into the house, and I walk in and I'm thinking, why? What's all of this about? I didn't leave any of this stuff like this. Has my mother come over to help me clean? It's happened. And then I realized there were things that were strange in strange places, and I looked at the front door, and it was slightly ajar. And someone had been setting things up and was coming back to take them, or I interrupted them in the act, and they had actually gone out the front door while I was coming in the back door. And you can say, well, maybe they had gone out the front door. Well, no, that front door is harder to get into, making the keys work right. And I saw where they had taken and chipped on the wood and pried parts of it back trying to get that front door open. But if you're on the inside, it's easy to get out. And I actually believe I interrupted them that day. But Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. This world will have no idea what's getting ready to happen. But we will. Do you ever have a real hard time recognizing when the Master is close at hand? If we were here during that time, we would be aware of Him. We can't help but be aware whenever He's close to our hearts. Can you remember the times in your life as a young person when you began to be aware of Him calling you, saying, you need to let me own you because I've got marvelous plans for your life? Are you happy with your sin, or do you want someone who can handle that for you? Because I know what to do with sin, and your heart would pull on you and you'd say, oh, what is that? Well, it was the Master, and we knew on some level, maybe not enough, but we know now when the Master is close at hand. And those people that are living here upon the face of the earth who are suffering during the great tribulation, do you not think that great joy and revival is going to begin to break out in those last days in the midst of their horrible suffering? Because Jesus is getting closer to this world than He's been for 2,000 years, other than to be in the heart and in the body of a believer. So this is what we're seeing here. If the good man had known at what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, the faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him so doing, taking care of the Master's needs, the Master's commands. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And that's one way we know what God's going to do with us during the millennium time. Have we allowed Him to put us in place to do what we're supposed to do where we are? Do you know how many people I've talked to today who don't know where they're supposed to do
where they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to do. I just wished I knew. Well, then you need to know Jesus better. You need to hide His Word in your heart. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delays His coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Does that happen in church? Have you ever seen somebody take out their backward hand of compliment? You know, backward hand of compliment. I've heard so many of them, I'm not going to listen to them, but just say, it's so good to see you. You've all had those. But if he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink and with the drunken, and you can say, oh, I've never been a drunk. If you are doing things that have nothing to do with what God has put you here to be, I'm always righteous. Whose righteousness is it? Is it yours or is it His? Then if it's yours, it's going to be like you were a drunk. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of it, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we want to stand now, and we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.